So today I wanted to talk about how I generated £150,000 worth of sales and counting just off the back of one single podcast interview.
You're listening to the Fearless Business Podcast. You're in the best place to learn about how to grow a business, get more clients, and make more money without fears and limitations, all while having fun in the process. Robin Waite is the founder of Fearless Business, a business accelerator helping coaches, consultants, and freelancers double their income and more. Now here's your host, Robin Waite.
So one of the things which I've come to learn over the years, and in February this year, 2024, I celebrated my 20th anniversary since I registered my first proper business. So back in February 2004, I was busy registering a limited company for my branding and web design business. And there's some really serious lessons to be learned. But one of the biggest ones, which I've been talking about a lot recently, is how to shift from doing one-to-one marketing to one-to-many marketing. The idea behind this is that a lot of business owners get very caught up in this whole sort of doing social media and networking and doing various different marketing activities, which essentially it just like brings people into your pipeline one by one by one by one by one. I've nicknamed it over the years, the sales cycle of doom, sell, deliver, sell, deliver, sell, deliver, sell, deliver. And you just end up going round and round in circles. And in my view, like the definition of success is definitely not going round in circles. There's something much greater than that, which you can actually do. And I, to be fair, having worked in business for 20 years, I was getting to a point last year, a little bit burnt out, struggling with this concept of doing one by one by one marketing, because it's a very exhausting, very tiring process. You have to keep on showing up day in and day out. And I know consistency is a major part of business, but the little voice in my head kept on telling me that after 20 years, should you have to keep on showing up so much and putting so much out there into the universe each and every day that you're working in order to just basically get by with your business? Is there a different way of potentially looking at the world, the universe, in terms of growing a business? So, and by the way, the learning which I'm about to share with you, there is a five-step process which I implemented unknowingly, and I had to learn this the hard way, just through a little bit of trial and error and gradually trying to figure this out. And it's only been on reflection since having this enormous success with this one particular podcast interview, which I did in August last year. And I know many of those people around me are probably bored of me telling this story now and talking about this thing. But it's on reflection I've been able to pull out the key learnings from this, which I'm going to put into this podcast now to hopefully help you. It's not a shortcut, by the way. I just want to make that perfectly clear. There's still some work to be done. But the work that you'll be doing is really intentional, really focused in a, and it actually makes the process, in my view, of marketing that much simpler. How this all started, a very good friend of mine, he's written a fantastic book called Energize. His name is Simon Alexander Ong. We were introduced initially as part of a mastermind during lockdown. One of the greatest joys that I had during lockdown was being a part of this mastermind where I just met some incredible people. Simon was one of the members on it. I think there was about seven of us. It was started by a guy called Hassan Kubba, who I've actually had on the podcast way back when. He's written a great book again called The Unfair Advantage, and he does a fabulous talk about understanding what your unfair advantage is. But anyway, I got to know Simon as a part of this mastermind. And I was just in awe of the amazing work which Simon did. Just as an example, he managed to get some praise on his book cover from Simon Sinek, you know, for Energize. And it's very justified. It's a fantastic book. But I was like, how do you get Simon Sinek to notice you and get, you know, endorse a praise on your book? I mean, that's just incredible. And then I started to notice that Simon was, you know, showing up with selfies of just these amazing people like Sir Christopher Evans, the radio presenter, and, you know, the guy who does Carfest and all of these amazing things for charity. The Dragon's Den guy, Stephen Bartlett, you know, Diary of a CEO podcast host. And just the list just went on and on and on. Just Simon kept on showing up with these incredible people and getting off the back of that amazing opportunities to do things like speaking abroad and, partnerships with his book and various events that he was getting booked for and things like that. I was just so in awe of it. And I kind of looked at it and I was like, well, you can shortcut the process and go and ask Simon and see what he's done in order to create these opportunities. So I did exactly that. And Simon, I don't know whether he remember this. Simon, if you're listening to this podcast, it'd be really interesting to see if you remember this, and maybe I'll actually get you on to talk about your side of it. But Simon said something really annoying to me. He said, "Robin, I'm not going to tell you like how I did this." He said, "There is a process," and he said, "If you just watch what I'm doing, you'll be able to figure it out." I was like, "Don't." Really frustrating, because I was kind of hoping that just to shortcut the process and he'd just tell me. Anyway, little did he know that it was one of the most influential things, impactful things, which anybody could have ever done for me in my 20 years in business, believe it or not. And hence the reason why I'm sharing this with you now. So I started paying attention to what Simon Alexandron was doing. And one of the first things that I noticed was that he was really intentional about the people that he was trying to sort of build partnerships with, the people that he was taking selfies with. I noticed when I kind of looked into those people, and I know now a little bit about Simon, having been on a mastermind with him and things like that, and what he stands for, I noticed that there was a lot of alignment between Simon and his prospective partners' values. They were really seriously in alignment. And I came to the conclusion that Simon had been hyper intentional about the types of, or the people that he wanted to form partnerships with. I'll let you in on a little secret that when you're doing one-by-one-by-one marketing, like, you have to have pretty large networks in order to be able to leverage getting people into your sales funnels. When you're doing partnerships and you're intentional with it, you probably only need like 10, maybe 20 really meaningful partners in order to grow a successful, prosperous business. And I kind of wish I'd learned this 20 years ago, but hey, better late than never, right? So lesson number one, make a note of this. It's to be hyper intentional. Find 10 to 20 potential partners that you would love to work with, that they're like, not necessarily your dream client. I think a lot of people get mixed up with partnerships, that they think the partnership is about like, what's in it for me? How quickly can I milk this partnership for sales? So they get into like, oh, you send out this email and promote my products and services, and then I'll give you a referral fee. And I think that's actually very short-term thinking. What I've learned is that no, partnerships not only take time to nurture in terms of being able to get to a point where you can ask something of one another, but also there's then this ongoing relationship that you're going to build with those partners. And like any kind of partnership, you've got to ensure that you just have similar values to your partners. So I wrote down a list of 10 to 20 people that I've followed for ages. I really get what they're about. I love what they're about. I like their content. I like the events which they put on. I like the people that they bring into their world. I like having conversations with them. Just all of it's just really good fun. And it's not about the money. It's just about finding like-minded individuals who you get along with, okay? And there is a part of it as well. It's like partnerships should benefit both parties in some way, shape, or form. And value comes in lots of different, you know, guises. So there are fortunate people out there who've done great work and they've been able to build large audiences. And I've always felt, and this is being very honest, candid with you, less fortunate, because despite all the work that I've done, I feel that my audiences are quite small still. And quantifiably against, you know, you take the likes of somebody like Ali Abdaal, where he's got 6 million subscribers on his YouTube channel. And my biggest audience, I think, is 5,000 people in my email list. My audience is a tiny compared to somebody like, you know, Ali Abdaal or Simon Squibb or Daniel Priestley or any of the, you know, Stephen Bartlett or any of these big sort of influential business people. So I came to realize that it was important to be influential, but I had to be very mindful about what I could bring to the party. And there's no point going after a partner just because they've got a large audience if actually genuinely you've got nothing to give, nothing to offer. So where I was looking at my initial 10 to 20 partners, I was looking at people who had large audiences which crossed over with my audience. And so that if the partnership worked, there was a way that I could leverage it in order to build, like, bring people into my audience, bring people into my world. If I could send people into their world or help them with product launches or give them a bit of coaching on pricing, I don't know, any number of different things. So there was a quid pro quo built within it. So that was my first lesson, being hyper intentional about who you want to be a partner, have on board as a partner. And you only need a small number of them, 10 to 20 people, absolute max in terms of partnerships that you're nurturing at any one particular point in time. The second tip I would like to add there is then about being in the same room. People have got so lazy in 2024 with their marketing. They're like, oh, we're going to send out emails and join Facebook groups. I'm going to do everything off online so that we don't have to see anybody like offline in person and have awkward conversations and things like that. And I don't believe you can build meaningful partnerships with people without shaking their hands, feeling the warmth of their hand on yours and looking them straight into the whites of their eyes and having a conversation with them. So I came to the conclusion, and I noticed this about Simon Alexander Wong. He was always taking selfies with these people. He had to be in the room to take selfies with people. Not only that, but he was also going to these amazing events. And I was like, oh, I quite like events like that. So what I did is I started showing up in the same room as my partners that I wanted to spend more time with. And we're talking here about people have been in my world for many years that I was actually now just being a bit more intentional about it. I wasn't like show up and hope that something happened. I was like show up and make something happen. So, you know, events which I've always gone to, things like Daniel Priestley puts on some absolutely amazing events, a lot of online stuff, but you can go and see him speak at events now offline a lot as well. I'd show up, I'd go to his events, support him. I'd go and shake his hand, say hi, take a selfie with him, promote his event for him, like, you know, all of the rest of it. But I would get myself in the same room, you know, so, and it's massively important because I think that's where relationships are built, like person to person, human to human contact. And the next thing was as well around like just, not only get yourself in the room, and this is my third tip, be helpful. Like there is no point showing up at an event if you can't go and shake somebody's hand, but also then do something to show that you actually genuinely believe in their brand and what they're doing and things like that. And this lesson I learned, I went to an event with Chris Doe, who I followed for a very long period of time. Chris Doe has a fantastic YouTube channel called The Future. I'll try and link to some of these things in the show notes. And I'm a massive fan. I love what he's about. He talks a lot about pricing and value and things like that, which I get. He's just got a nice vibe about him. He's got kids. There's a lot of similar sorts of values. And so I started going to his events. And the second event, which I went to in person, one part of Chris's marketing strategy is they film stuff to then put out like as user-generated content almost, but with Chris mentoring somebody live in a talk with a room full of 100 people. But they didn't have a microphone, and eventually we cobbled together a microphone, and then the microphone just wasn't getting passed around. So they were missing all of this, these really fantastic interactions with the audiences at these events. So I took it upon myself to go and grab the microphone and make sure it got to the next person so that we could capture like some decent quality audio of that person asking the question and getting some coaching work with Chris. Lo and behold, like I'd given Chris my book a while ago at another event, and I'd said, you know, I'd love to do some work with you. And in the middle of this event, then Chris says, oh, thank you, Robin, for doing the microphone. Massively appreciate it. By the way, and there's 150 people. By the way, everybody, this is Robin Waite. He's got this fantastic book called Take Your Shot. You should all go and buy it. And then he said, the one reason I haven't got you on my podcast yet is because I haven't, and this is in front of everybody, is because I haven't read your book yet. I'm like, dang, go and read the book, Chris. No. I was like, cool, appreciate the honesty. But again, that interaction and that potential partnership, if that goes somewhere, or not if, but maybe when it goes somewhere, it wouldn't have happened unless I was in the room and specifically, more to the point, I was being helpful and adding some value. So that's my tip number three, be helpful, add value to the people you want to partner up with. The next one's an interesting one. So you can show up and be as helpful as you want to, but you can't often get to the person in charge who maybe you want to partner up with. So if I went straight to Daniel Priestley, or if I went straight to Ali Abdaal, or if I went straight to Chris Doe and asked for something, these guys are really busy. Influential people who have big audiences and run serious businesses, they are busy people. They don't organize stuff. They have other people organizing things for them. And this became very quickly apparent. You know, you can have great conversations with Chris or Daniel or Ali, but the bookings and the stuff, the important stuff kind of happens behind the scenes and it's organized by somebody else. And so where I learned this lesson, so this is lesson number four. It used to be called Find Your Inside Man, but we have to be politically is a quality now. So find your inside person, and inside man or woman, and you know, when you, and build the relationship with them as well as your key person of influence you're trying to partner up with. And so what I did is with Ali Abdaal's team, and how I came about getting that podcast interview on Deep Dive with Ali Abdaal, which went berserk. I just got to know various different members of his team. I was helpful with them. I offered them coaching sessions. And then one day I had a conversation with somebody who knew his podcast booker, albeit I hadn't met her yet at that point. I happened to get wind of the fact that, you know, there was some recordings coming up. So I dropped them an email and I said, oh, hey, Amber, listen, I know you've got some recording scheduled. If it just happens that somebody drops out and you need a super sub, just put my name in the hat and, you know, I'll come down and record if you want me on the podcast. And so then the following Thursday, I get a call saying, oh, Rob, you'll never guess what. On Tuesday, somebody's dropped out. Could you come and record? Yeah, absolutely. Immediately, I was like, yes, count me in. Put the phone down. And then I was like, oh, crap, I got school run and pick up to do. I've got two podcast interviews organized. I've got a coaching client in the morning. And I had to like undo all of this stuff so that I could then go down and record on the Tuesday. And funny story, actually, I go to London not very frequently, but once or twice a month, maybe, to various different events and interviews and various other things. And why would you pack any spare clothes? You're going down to London for the day, you wouldn't pack any spare clothes. Anyway, for the interview with Ali, I ended up packing 5 different t-shirts because I didn't know what the studio environment was going to be or what their expectations were, or backgrounds or whatever, or just because I was being in London, I didn't want to show up and be smelly. So I thought I'd pack some spare shirts and I'll just change if I need one. And I literally walked out of Paddington Station and a bird pooped on my head. I kid you not. And I laughed out loud. I had people just staring at me in the street outside Paddington, like, what on earth is wrong with this nutter? And I had pigeon pooed, like, in my hair, down my face, all over my shoulder on my blue feeler shirt. And I was laughing. And then I ran into the Hilton, got changed into another feeler shirt, and then carried on with my day. Anyway, that aside, so we record the interview. That was back in June last year, and then it went live eventually. I think August the 4th it went live over the summer holidays, which was an interesting time of year because I try and take August off, and then little did I know how popular the podcast would be, but I didn't get a say-so with when it was going live. And I'm not going to complain about this. So you're probably interested to know, before I do this, so those 4 steps around partnership, I'll repeat them, and it's worthwhile writing these down. I actually have them written on a postcard, which sits on my desk now, because this is my marketing strategy. It's for these 4 steps now around partnerships. I don't have to worry about marketing ever again in my life because of these 4 steps and now what I understand to be true about partnerships, okay? If you follow these 4 steps, and it's not an overnight thing, this is something you invest months or years into, building meaningful partnerships with influential people. You have to pay a lot into the kitty before you ask for anything back out. So the 4 steps: 1, be intentional. 2, put yourself physically in the same room as whoever, and you might have to do this multiple times, with your potential partner. 3, when you show up in the room, be helpful. Add as much value to that person's life as you possibly can to, in whatever way, shape, or form it takes. Even if it's cleaning the dishes, washing the toilets, whatever it might be, you do what's got to be done in order to just show that person that you care about them and you're willing to just do whatever it takes, okay? And then 4, don't go directly to the person you want to form the partnership with. It's more than likely you've got to find your inside man or woman and build a relationship with them. And then I haven't written this down actually as a little byproduct. Timing the ask in your partnership is absolutely critical because there will become a natural point where they'll say, gosh, you've done so much for me, Robin, what could we do for you? And that's the point when you can ask for what you want as well. So that's just a little bonus thing. Anyway, you're probably more interested to know what the numbers were that came off the back of that one interview, okay? So I'd spent all this time building this partnership. I record the interview. It was a 2.5-hour long interview. And these are the numbers. So that interview's now just clocked over 200,000 downloads on YouTube. I'll share a link to that interview with Ali in the show notes as well, because it's worthwhile checking out, especially if you're in the startup space and want to know a bit more about pricing. So 200,000 downloads. In the subsequent 90 days, I received, I think it was in the region of about 1,500 leads from that one thing. I'd spent 10 years getting my email list up to 3,500 members in my email list. In 90 days, that went from 3,500 to over 5,000. It absolutely blew my mind. Okay, this is the power of partnerships and being able to share somebody's audience if they're open to it. Okay, of those leads, so major part of my marketing strategy is giving away copies of my book, Take Your Shot. Again, reach out to me if you want a signed copy of that. So Take Your Shot. I think we were originally going to give away like 15 signed copies that Ali and I had signed, and just the inquiries for it just kept on coming. So I was like, well, I just keep sending them. So I think I signed and packed and took 600 copies down to my local post office, which Pauline was very happy about in the post office. So where are we up to now? So 1,500 leads, 600 copies of the book sent out, and then the booking started coming in. So people started booking into my diary. So a major part of my sales process, for those who don't know, you fill out an application form. If you pass the application process, if you're a good fit, I feel, then you'll get invited onto what I call a diagnostic call. So it's a sales call, essentially. And then we see where we go from there. So I think I had in the first 90 days, something like 80 to 100 calls booked during that time, which is more than I've ever booked in that shorter period of time. In total over 2023, I think I did somewhere in a region of about 175 to 200 calls, and that includes follow-up calls as well, but a lot of calls. I was doing 4 or 5 a week, you know, so it's significant. At one point I was doing 15 a week, which is just exhausting, and I recognized then I had to change my processes a little bit. That's probably something for another podcast. And the most important number, I think, revenue-wise in those first 90 days, and there was a bit of a lag, so it takes a while for this money to come in, so it's not all cash collected necessarily. But it produced £150,000 worth of new business, which is just utterly incredible. It just blew my mind. And that's why I was so keen to unpack the process that I went through in terms of what have I done in order to create that opportunity. Well, not just that opportunity, but a lot of the other opportunities that have come to me over the years. By being intentional, putting myself in the same room, being helpful and adding value, and building relationships with not just the most important person, but also the behind the scenes people as well. They're all hugely, hugely important steps, and it takes a very long period of time. Why do most business owners struggle with this though? Because anybody could do this. Anybody could find 10 or 20 influential people and build partnerships with them. Unfortunately, I think most people are too, they operate from a scarcity mindset, and they want to get to the pounds, the dollars, too quickly. So taking 2 years to build up a partnership with somebody, for most people, they just don't have the patience or the tenacity or the determination or the nous to be able to put that amount of time into something without getting anything back financially, especially, but getting anything back in return. So what did I get back in return from this before that? And with the other partnerships, which I build, it just purely comes down to, and actually Ali Abdaal talks about this in his book. He has a fantastic book called Feel Good Productivity. And it's all about, rather than treating your life and business like work, like I'm going to inputs in and I expect outputs out. What if actually part of the remuneration from doing the thing that we do is just about joy, about having fun, about feeling good without any expectation of anything else in return? It's what we call an intrinsic motivator, okay? It's something that we carry internally. I thought I was just stupid for a while. Daniel Priestley used to run these amazing events back in the day, like before I did Key Personal Influence, called the Brand Accelerators. An in-person event where there was like 500 or 600 people. And in actual fact, it's one of those events where I got my Guinness World Record certificate. But I went to 13 brand accelerators. Like, why did I do that? Like, it cost me money every time. I had to get trains down or hotels and things like that. Those 13 brand accelerators cost me a lot of money. I even still went to the brand accelerators after I'd done KPI and graduated it and everything else. There's kind of no real need. I saw the same six speakers at every single brand accelerator, but I just enjoyed it. It was just a lot of fun. It made sense to do that. And unknowingly, it's put me in Dan Priestley's world for the best part of a decade now. And so when I kind of show up, like I show up as somebody that Dan knows in his world, because I've supported him for so long and he supported me as well, conversely, I should say. It's not just a one-way street here. Dan has supported me an incredible amount over the years. Hopefully those lessons that are out there that I've shared with you today are four very simple steps to build meaningful partnerships with 10 to 20 partners could, if you implement those four steps, absolutely transform your business. Imagine never having to do any marketing ever again, right? And to just spend your time putting effort into building those meaningful relationships. It's world-changing. This is something I wish I'd known 20 years ago. It would have been transformational if I knew this as like a, you know, a 22-year-old just starting up his first business to start building partnerships then. Who knows where I could be now, but hey, let's not deal with what ifs. If you've enjoyed this episode of the podcast, like, please do go and share it with somebody on LinkedIn or on social for me. I'd really appreciate that. Or leave me a review on iTunes. It just helps other people to find it. If you're working on building a partnership, just as you share it, hey, tag in the person that you're building a partnership with, or, you know, let me know who you're building a partnership with. I'd love to hear a little bit more about it. I don't often hear from people listening to the podcast, so do reach out. Till next time, peace out.